Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a day off for the Bears, but Fox Watch never ends. After a second straight close loss, could Ryan Pace pull the plug on him midseason? Speaking of Pace, how much criticism should he face for another team that will finish with a losing record? Zach LaVine is back, sort of. He practiced with the Bulls. How soon could he actually be playing? Meanwhile, one of the biggest prospects in the next NBA draft could be done for the season. So should the Bulls still take a chance at Michael Porter Jr. if he's 100% healthy draft day? We'll ask Mark Chenowski. And welcome in to Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a really good day. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show. You find this guy all over football gridirons around America. He's Kevin Fishbane. Is that not a fact? Maven, man. We got Mark Potash, Chicago Sun-Times, and Ben Finfer, who is a frequent caller to the Howard Stern Show. He is also from ESPN 1000. All right, Fox Watch continues. Some people have even taken the Firefox logo and made it the avatar on their Twitter. I wonder who that might be. Anyway, let's discuss John Fox, Ryan Pace, and everything going on, because there are some that are holding Fox 100% accountable. Some are saying Pace hasn't done a good enough job. Potsy, you're up there every day. Fox Watch, how would you characterize blame here?
I wouldn't say totally, but a lot of it's on John Fox. He was supposed to be – he got them to a certain point, but hasn't been able to – get across over the hump and get win games that his team should win. His teams are well known for playing for him, and he even acknowledged today, when you say we're taking siestas, that's an admission that he's not getting through. His message is not resonating. He's not getting the response from his players. I think injuries are a big factor, but I think if you're going to blame like Pace or Fox, I think John Fox is going to take the fall.
By the way, our poll question, NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Who deserves the blame? Right now, 96% are going 97, 98.
1% margin of error.
Foxy talks about how they've been close a lot, right? But it's year three, so they shouldn't continue to be close. They should start to win these games. And good teams win close games. They don't continually lose these close games that come within a touchdown. So, yeah, you can give John Fox credit for keeping a team that does not have a lot of talent, has a lot of good players on injury reserve, in games that maybe they shouldn't be in. But I think we're kind of past that point, because when you come down to the wire and these games come down to two or three plays, more of that falls on the coaching staff when you're not coming out of those games with W's like the one against Detroit.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about who's going to be held accountable at the end of the year, that will be John Fox. Ryan Pace is pretty safe. If you're trying to figure out where blame goes for where they are right now, I think there's enough to go around. I mean, a lot of it does go to John Fox, but the personnel has some issues as well. I mean, Mark, you wrote about it today in the Sun-Times with some of the free agency issues that they've had. Not all their draft picks have been hits. There's also been some bad luck with injuries the last couple of years. But most of all, I think the head coach gets a big part of the blame.
Yeah, Ryan Pace has done well enough in the draft, at least as far as we know after, at this point, that you can at least think that, give him the benefit of the doubt, that a couple more drafts he's going to build like they want to build through the draft. The issue with Fox is not so much what he's done in the past. I think it's swinging now towards what he can do in the future with a quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, and how can you max out a quarterback, a young quarterback, and develop him. I think that's going to be his undoing. If there's a decision made, it's going to be more for the future, I think, than the past. So I think that's the big issue with Fox right now, is the Bears need somebody who, as we've seen with the Rams and with the Eagles, you get an offensive guy in there who can make the most out of your best asset.
Are you hung up, Mark just said, get an offensive guy in there? I don't care if he's an offensive coach, a defensive coach, a special teams coach. I don't care who he is. Be the best head coach and then put the right staff around him.
Well, I think the best head coach for the Bears is going to be an offensive guy, because the number one priority is Mitch Trubisky, and you want the head coach to be that guy, because the thought is he's going to be with Mitch Trubisky for the future. If you bring in you know, I can't even think off the top ahead of a defensive head coach who would be available.
Terrell Austin.
Yeah,
from
you know,
the
and then he
Vic
brings
Fangio?
He brings in a hot young offensive coordinator. He brings in a quarterbacks coach who's done really well. You get John DeFilippo at Philadelphia. You bring him in the offensive coordinator. Mitch Trubisky has a great year. Then where's he going to go? And then you get a new offense. So, you know, it makes sense to try to bring in that best offensive guy. And it goes with what the Bears have been doing over the years. They, you know, they tried the out-of-the-box coach at Trestman. Didn't work. They went with the defensive guy in Lovie. They went with the, you know, the wily veteran in John Fox. Now it's time to go get the young offensive guy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that because I think the worst thing you can do for Mitch Trubisky is be changing offenses on an annual basis. And that is the risk of hiring a defensive guy who brings in an offensive coordinator. As you said, if he has success, he could leave. I mean, look at the Atlanta situation where they have all the success last year. He leaves. I know they had a better game last night, but they've had issues this year. So you just have to be very careful. But ultimately, you are right, Cap. If you decide that the defensive guy is the best option, then you take a risk.
If I told you John Harbaugh hit the street, they went, you know what, we're letting him, not saying they are, but if he did, you're telling me you wouldn't hire John Harbaugh because he's not an offensive guru?
You know, that's one of those hypotheticals where I think if you a capothetical, if you will,
right.
You know, where if it's John Harbaugh, you got a Super Bowl winning coach, and you know certainly somebody with the special teams background and someone can manage all aspects of the game has done so at a very high level. I think you consider that and you consider who he's bringing in.
Maybe he brings in his brother as an offensive coordinator.
Here's the Jimmy.
Here's the thing: if you're Ryan Pace, you just spent 3 years with John Fox, who is this veteran coach who comes in, to use a Fox phrase, with skins on the wall, who's been around. If you're Ryan Pace, do you want another guy like that? Or would you rather have somebody who maybe is a little bit more your contemporary, who's going to be his first-time head coach? I feel like he might want that for the GM head coach.
You want to copy what the Rams have done. I mean, that is the playbook right now.
They're closest to the Bears. All you got to do is bring in a couple receivers. I don't think it's too hard to find. I know Sammy Watkins is a great receiver. I don't think it's too hard to find a Watkins-Woods combination and draft a Cooper Kupp. That's something the Bears can do. Bringing in an offensive-minded head coach, the Bears can do. There's two factors with Fox to me that make the difference. One, like I said before, I don't want to put on age, but you know his message just doesn't resonate with players. He does not get the same effort or whatever it is out of player, the same results out of players that he used to. And also, you know, John Fox is not the best tactician. He's not the best game coach when it comes to clock management and things like that. And that's been kind of hidden because the Bears haven't lost a whole lot because of it. It's not like they've missed out on a playoffs because of that or something like that. And it's an opportunity also to get a coach who I think can be better in game, end of game. And I think right. That's going to be a factor.
He'd never have a dumb challenge, right? He would never.
That's only one of the issues.
He won that challenge.
He did win that challenge, by the way. Chicago will not be charged the timeout, but they will lose the football. Ryan Pace right now leading in the voting. Where do you hold Ryan Pace in terms of accountability on free agency? I know you wrote about that.
Well, I mean, two things. I think overall, Akeem Hicks has been a big hit. But overall, Danny Trevathan, overall, his the free agency fill-ins have not, he has not gotten bang for his buck. Even going to like Pernell McPhee, who I think he's getting production, but not what he paid for. So overall, that's not a great sign. On the other hand, I still think you got to put it in the perspective, in the context of the big picture, and that he's building through the draft. When you build a team through the draft, a lot of these mistakes don't matter as much. They can be, they're just not going to be as important if you hit in the draft.
He also did a lot of one-year deals.
And that's the other thing is he was smart in that way. He can get out of these. So I would say I wouldn't give him a passing grade, I guess, or an overall a good grade on it. But I just don't think it's going to be as big a factor if you continue to hit in the draft,
which it looks
especially
like he's
with the quarter. You know, look at Green Bay. You know, Ted Thompson's an idiot now. He was a genius 4 weeks ago, right? He was a guy who every guy he signed, even he wasn't a big free agent guy, but every free off the street free agent or undrafted free agent they brought in was what just fit in. Perfectly made a difference, and now all of a sudden they've got all these homegrown players and they've won one game since Aaron Rodgers has been out. So my point is, it's the quarterback. When you get the quarterback right, you can make a lot of mistakes.
See, that balloting just mystifies me because I'm not a Fox guy, but I was not a Fox guy, Potsy. If you'll remember the day they hired him, I didn't like the hire. Ryan Pace has made his share of mistakes, no question about it, but he has gotten you Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Mitchell Trubisky, if he's what they think he is. Adam Shaheen looks like he's probably going to be a decent player. Cody Whitehair. It looks like he had a great game on Sunday. Cody Whitehair. Eddie Goldman.
Well, Cap, let's put it this way. If you're going to – now, I don't know if that was quite the question, but if you're going to fire Ryan Pace at this point, at this juncture, with what his, with his resume, with what he's done, you're going to be changing – you're going to be hiring a new GM every 3 years because there aren't going to be too many guys who hit – even the Bill Polians don't hit right away unless there's like a – unless there's like, a, you know, a Peyton Manning out there or somebody like that. So I'm saying almost anybody you bring in is – this is actually – pretty good with the draft. You know what I'm saying? And my point is we don't really know exactly. Leonard Floyd looks like he's ready to take that next step and be a Pro Bowl player. And the injury notwithstanding, he looks like he might get there, but we don't know. So what I'm saying is the jury's out. But right now, the early signs relative to other GMs we've had, and remember, unlike Jerry Angelo, he did not inherit a Brian Urlacher to make all the other picks
Mark
look Hattie good.
Yeah. Well,
right.
I wonder if this is maybe a bunch of Fox family members here mashing the polls.
Yeah, no question
but
about it.
I think too, look at the Ryan Pace misses: Glennon, Marcus Wheaton, Marcus Cooper, Antoine Roll, Eddie Royal, Pernell McPhee to an extent. Alan Ball, his first year.
Connor Barth.
Darrell Freeman.
Questionable.
Those are a lot of bad misses. But big picture, none of those guys were signed to 4, 5, 6-year deals. None of those guys were brought in to be part of the foundation for the long-term view. These were, just different things to kind of fill the gaps because remember what Ryan Pace inherited. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible roster that he got. And each year he's just tried to get a bunch of free agents to fill spots where he can. He hit on Hicks. When Trevathan's healthy, he's a very, very good player. I think he hit there. But all the misses, those aren't necessarily long. Those don't hurt the team in the long term, which is why I think the draft is more important when you look at his resume.
He's going to be graded on Trubisky, ultimately. Yep. If Trubisky works out, he's going to be a great GM. If he doesn't, then he's going to fail here in Chicago. You hate to simplify it that much, but that's the reality of GMs in the NFL these days.
What's your take on Adam Shaheen, who played his best game on Sunday in the loss to the Lions? In fact, so much so that Pro Football Focus, and again, they're not the be-all, end-all, but it's still a pretty good grading system. They rated Adam Shaheen the number one tight end in the NFL in Week 11, number one.
Well, I think he's typical of, I think, the Bears as a whole in that he has potential, but he's not the kind of guy who's going to turn the Bears into a winner. You know, that's kind of been the disappointment about Mitch Trubisky, I think, is he hasn't really made players better than they are by being mobile and elusive and things like that. But I think once they put together a good team, guys like Tariq Cohen also, I think that was an important point last week, is that, he's supposed to be kind of a complimentary guy. He's the kind of guy who's good because there's a lot of other good players around him. He doesn't make the Bears good. And I think Shaheen is very similar to that. I think he's got the potential to be great once they have a better supporting cast. So I think these young guys are kind of getting dragged down a little bit by having too much on their shoulders to be too good too soon.
I think the best part about Shaheen's game, he had made a few big catches, obviously a touchdown, his run blocking. Because that was the biggest question mark about him coming out of Division II, Ashland University. There was a great run by Jordan Howard in the fourth quarter for 16 yards, and Shaheen was the one out there making really good blocks in the perimeter, and that's what the Bears want to see, because that was the learning curve. I mean, he was only out in the field maybe 30-40% of the snaps when Deion Sims was in. Now he fills that Deion Sims role. I think he played the most he's played all season, and that's going to continue to develop, and he needs reps. Yeah. So I think it was a lot of positive signs you saw from him Sunday, but I mean, I agree with Potsy here. It's not like, you're not going to build an offense around him, but if you have the receivers on the outside, you have the running game with Jordan Howard, Shaheen could be the perfect guy for your offense.
And yeah. Kevin, to your point, kudos to the Bears for developing Shaheen the right way. He looked like a pass catching guy in training camp from the very beginning. He has great hits. They could have easily put him on the field early and had him running routes when he wasn't ready to be effective as far as blocking, but they have kind of developed him as a blocker first and then let him get on the field as a pass catcher. I think that will pay a benefit, I think, in the long run.
All right, good news and bad news for the Bulls on the injury front. Good news, Zach LaVine is practicing again. Bad news, one of the best prospects in the upcoming draft won't play again this season. Mark Schanowski will drop by and talk all things Bull and all things NBA next. Chicago.
Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle. Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Zach LaVine back on the practice court with no restriction. He has been cleared for full contact. No word if he'll head to the G League first before he plays with the Bulls or at some point in December. They just roll the ball out and go, let's go. Mark Schanowski is here, Mr. NBA, host of our Bulls coverage. Do you believe that he'll go to the G League to get some run, or why not? We're a G League team anyway. Let's go.
Oh, Cap, come on now. I don't know if he's going to play in the G League. I think that he's worked so hard. He's been ahead of schedule on the rehab all the way through. I think when he's ready to go, he's going to suit up for the Bulls and play. The only question is that going to be middle of December or later in the month? I know that Bulls fans would like to see him tonight playing against the Lakers. And, you know, an exciting player, two-time slam dunk champion. And he's going to add a lot to the team. He's another shot creator, which is something this team desperately needs.
Yeah. What happens to the lineup? Obviously, he's starting.
He'll start.
So who loses minutes? Does it even matter?
Well, that small forward spot has been kind of a wasteland for the Bulls so far early in the season. They started Paul Zipser at the three. That's a guy that Fred Hoiberg really liked as a rookie a year ago. But what they'll do is they'll move Justin Holliday to small forward. Zach LaVine will take over as shooting guard. And hopefully Chris Dunn will be your point guard for the foreseeable future. He's looked really good the last two games because people were saying, well, he can't shoot. But he's averaging
26
almost 12
on Friday. He looked really good.
Yeah, he played really well. He led them to that victory over the Hornets coming off the bench. And I think that Dunn's going to get better if he continues to improve to the point where he's a definite starting quality NBA guard. You see what Lauri Markkanen has been doing early in his NBA career, and Zach LaVine joining the team. All of a sudden, that Jimmy Butler trade that was widely panned around the league
looks pretty good.
Looking pretty darn good. Yeah.
So when you look at this team and you go, okay, LaVine. I'm not saying Dunn's an all-star, but he'll be a nice player. Mm-hmm. Markkanen looks like he's really good. You're going to pick in the top three, four, you would hope.
I would think so, yeah.
That should, not guaranteed, should be a good player. This summer, we talked out in the newsroom earlier, mm-hmm. What do they have to do with free agency because they got a cap hold on Zach LaVine?
Well, a lot of people look at the raw numbers and think, well, the Bulls are going to go out and sign two major free agents. You know, they're going to go after LeBron and Paul George. Well, those guys aren't coming here. So you have to move down the list. The guys that may be willing to change teams, a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who's had problems with coaches and officials over the time, but really not a bad guy. You know, he's been nominated for community assistance awards. You know, he's very, very good guy in the community. Isaiah Thomas, who's coming back from hip surgery.
No, thanks.
He's still 5'9", and he's going to turn 29 years old in the offseason. I don't think the Bulls are going to be a big player in free agency. And I hate to say that for people who are thinking it's going to be an instant turnaround for this team. Even though they have that cap space, I think they'll use a big chunk of it to re-sign LaVine. And then I think they may try to save some of it, get another top pick next year, and then maybe go out in the free agent marketplace.
Mark, what's impressed you most about Markkanen those first couple?
You know, what I like the most about him is he's got a little bit of nasty to his game. He's got an edge to him. You know, you think a 20-year-old kid from Finland, he's just going to stand out and shoot threes and back away from physical contact. He hasn't been like that at all. He's been willing to face up with guys, play defense man-to-man, and he's got a nice touch in the mid-range. You know, he'll drive baseline. He can shoot a fall away. He'll finish strong at the rim. We've seen a couple instances where he goes strong and gets rebound dunks and things. I thought coming in that he might need a year or two to really put on some strength to be able to cope with NBA defenders. He doesn't back down from anybody. He's been very impressive in terms of his physicality. I've been pleasantly surprised by how good he is this quick.
I think we've been conditioned in the Hoiberg era to just be pessimistic about the Bulls, but dare I say, I mean, if Zach LaVine is as good as he was and as good as I think he's going to be, I think the Bulls, they have better pieces than they've had, but also the pieces fit better than they have. I mean, this looks like an offensive team that Fred Hoiberg can actually coach. And I think when you put these together, I don't think their needs in free agency will be as great as maybe they were a year ago or whatever. So I think they're so much better now because I think they have the right pieces, but not only I think the fit is better, it just looks like a little more, it's just a smoother operation.
Well, especially with Fred coming from Iowa State, you know, the whole thing we heard about was, He was an offensive genius, fast-paced teams, always ranked amongst the best in the NCAA in pace of play. Now they're finally doing that here in Chicago. As you mentioned, he's got the kind of players that are going to be receptive to his coaching. They want to play that style of play where you get quickly up and down the court, shoot a lot of three-point shots. And, you know, I think that this is going to be able to bring out whatever he can add to the team from an offensive system.
Yeah, it was hard to watch, hard to cover the Bulls with Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg's offense. It seemed like they hired the wrong guy and then waited too long to get rid of the play. I mean, it just didn't, like I said, a bad fit, and now it looks like the fit's better. So I think things are looking up for the Bulls.
That's why Jimmy said that they had to make a choice. And it wasn't really like Jimmy was drawing a line in the sand where he went into the front office and go, you either keep Fred Hoiberg or you keep me. What he was referring to is the fact that he wants to play that isolation ball where he's going to be the featured player, run a lot of screening roles, real slow offense. Fred wanted to play fast. He wanted to get up and down and shoot a lot of threes. So the front office did have to make a choice in terms of what style of play you wanted, and that's why the Butler trade came about.
So if you were being the optimistic Bulls fan that
I am. Like I always am.
Yes. I am trying to be an optimistic Bulls fan. If you got 2.5 good pieces out of the trade, I won't say three, but 2.5. You got a high pick and you hit on it this year, which you should. Mm-hmm. If those guys can't hit on the high pick, I think they would tell you, if we can't get a top three pick right, then we shouldn't have our job. And you land something in free agency, this thing gets turned. I'm not saying to win a championship. You're a contender to go back to the playoffs quicker than most thought.
It all depends on which direction the front office wants to go this summer. If they're going to invest the cap space they have into trying to get talent that can help them win games next season, that may not be the path that they choose, only because, as you mentioned, if you get a top three pick in this next draft, get another high pick the following year, it may set you up better for long-term success than trying to patch it together with middle-of-the-road veterans.
Also, Michael Porter Jr., who many thought was fait accompli, he'd be the number one pick. He's a freshman at Missouri. 2 minutes into his first game, he injured his hip. Today they announced he is done for the season. He's going to have lower back surgery. It also was going into his hip. That really puts a damper on, you know, the
How do you think Konzo Martin feels? He hired his dad to be an assistant coach just to get the kid over there.
Yeah.
Now the kid may only play 2 minutes in his whole career.
Right, because the speculation is he's going to go right to the pros.
Well, the feeling is, especially after back surgery, if he comes back to Missouri next year and he has either re-injures the back or has some other physical concerns, he's going to plummet in the draft. Now, you know, he played a couple of minutes. People know what he did in high school. They know his physical skill set. People are probably willing to take a risk on him as a top five pick, even though he didn't play at all in college.
Which is where he makes his money.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, he sounds like the perfect pick for the Bulls. Medical concerns, doesn't play.
Yeah, look at Joel Embiid. It's paying off for Philadelphia. They have to
be optimistic with me.
What?
Be optimistic.
Cap's always the voice of optimism.
I have got them contending to go back to the playoffs in 1920.
There you go. That's the year the White Sox win the World Series.
Right. They lose to the Cubs in the World Series.
Hey, wouldn't you love to cover that, wouldn't you?
Oh my God, that would be unbelievable.
Cap wouldn't sleep.
Oh, no. He doesn't sleep now, let alone.
If you had to vote today, NBA MVP, are you voting Kyrie Irving?
Yes.
Voting Giannis.
You can stop right there.
Not out to
they won 16 games in a row. They lose Gordon Hayward in the first game.
What do you mean stop right there? The best player in the NBA is still LeBron James. What he's been doing.
What he said right now.
I say LeBron James right now. He's been a
They're a 500 team.
They're better than 500. They've been hot recently. He's been playing out of his mind.
What about Giannis?
The last
they don't
play
any defense. And LeBron isn't playing any defense either.
But the numbers he is putting up are unbelievable. He's playing probably too many minutes. He's been a freak this year.
By the way, he would take exception with the statement you just made. We were talking about this. Tyronn Lue came out and LeBron and said, would you guys stop with the minute stuff?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, last night he only played 27 minutes. So they
because they won
by 100. Billion.
Well, yeah. But he's averaging the most minutes of any player in the NBA.
Kyrie Irving, I mean, he's the best guard in the league, right? I mean, at least the best one-on-one guard. Nobody can. I mean, if you're going to put a ball in someone's hand,
Russell Westbrook would argue with you.
Westbrook, I mean, and
James Harden probably.
I like Damian Lillard, but the way Kyrie's played the first, you know, this first month, he's playing out of his mind.
Kyrie's been great. I don't want to take anything away from him.
So is Antetokounmpo.
LeBron is still the best player in the league. He's been playing
by far.
this year. Giannis, literally, I mean, he is a freak.
But we're talking about the MVP award, which traditionally has been voted on. Writers get fatigued with the same guy. It's like when Michael played. He should have won it every year.
That doesn't make it right, though.
I know. LeBron is still the number one player in the league, and he's a freak of nature. I wouldn't be surprised if he has five more years at peak efficiency. The guy is just unbelievable. But in terms of what we've seen, we're getting close to the quarter pole of the NBA season. Kyrie Irving leading that team without Gordon Hayward to 16 straight wins. And then last night was another example. They're down 13 to Dallas in the fourth quarter. He just puts them on their back. It's big shot after big shot. I mean, the guy wanted to be the man. He's the man, and he's delivering. To me, that's the definition of a guy that is an MVP caliber.
And he was efficient last night, too.
Yes, he was.
His shooting percentage was
over 70%.
Yeah. And that's where, like, Westbrook and Harden, I'll take them any day of the week. But I do like that Irving's a little bit of a better shooter when it comes down to it.
And he's even playing defense in Boston, which he didn't do in Cleveland.
But I don't remember Kyrie Irving being this dominant pre-LeBron with the Cavs.
Agreed.
It's almost like playing with LeBron gave him some kind of new reality or something.
He learned a lot.
Well, he seems like he appreciates being away from LeBron so much. Because he wasn't quite the factor.
But he was also only in his first or second year before LeBron came over.
And the team was horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, they were playing after LeBron left. Boston? I don't think so. I agree with Ben in terms of LeBron's still the best player, and you're going to have to beat him 4 out of 7 times in the series. I don't see Boston or any other team in the East doing it. I'd be curious to see how Isaiah Thomas fits. He was such a ball-dominant player with the Celtics last year. He was third in the NBA in scoring, averaged like 29 points a game. How is he going to work with LeBron? It's going to be fascinating. And, of course, at 5'9", he's a terrible defensive player, so we'll see how that works out.
What's on pregame?
Well, we're going to have story time with Kendall. That's
that
become a new feature.
That is phenomenal.
He told a story about Tyson and Eddie, which was classic. You know, I'll just quickly say that he ran into Michael Jordan coming out of the locker room. Kendall played 1 year with the Bulls. It was with Tyson and Eddie. And he said he was talking in the back room to the 2 7-footers. And Michael said, "What are you bothering with that? With those two guys? You add them up together, you got 14 feet of bull beep." So he kind of told Kendall that he's going to have some rough times. Tonight's story, he promises me this. You're going to L.A., Tinseltown. Janet Jackson is involved. So I don't know where the story's going to go, but you're going to want to tune in at 9 just to see which direction.
Beautiful. It'd be dangerous.
Yeah. And then we get to watch Lonzo Ball, who might be the worst shooting guard I've watched in a long time.
He is shooting 31% from the field. You know, the jump shot's broken. With all the control his dad wanted to have, you think he would have taught him how to shoot the ball.
Yeah, tell his dad to say thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.